seen you move. You move the mountains, and I believe I'll see you do it again. You made a way where there was no way, and I believe I'll see you do it again. Promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You've never failed me yet. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Still in your hands, this is my confidence. You've never failed me yet.
Come on, why don't you stand to your feet? Maybe there's a mountain that needs to be moved in your life. How many of you agree this morning that God is faithful? Today, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So whatever it is that you need, just sing this song over your life right now in Jesus' name.
I see you move. You move the mountains, and I believe I'll see you do it again. You made a way where there was no way, and I believe I'll see you do it again. I see you
God specializes in moving things bigger than us. I said God specializes. If you're in this place today and you say, man, I'm facing something, I couldn't push it if I had all my strength, you're in a perfect position for God to step in and do what you've never done before and see Him do what you've never seen Him do before. He's a mountain mover. Come on, say a good amen to God who's a mountain mover. The Bible says you've got a part in it. Complaining about it, posting about it, writing songs about it, it's not going to change it. The Bible says if you'll speak to the mountain with a mustard seed size faith, the mountain will respond to you. So while we say, God, you move the mountain, God's saying, you tell the mountain to move, and I'll move the mountain after you tell it to move. And so that's why we worship. That's why we make declarations. That's why we're vocal and public about our faith. Because God says, if you'll move, I'll move. If you step, I'll step. If you push, I'll push. Now, I'm going to tell you something today. When God gets behind your words have power. When God gets behind your praise has power. When God gets behind your press has power today. And I'm interested in God moving your mountains. But I think we ought to be interested in God moving the mountains of people in our towns. I wish that people would begin that don't go to church, see our involvement in the community and say, He'll make a way where there is no way. That God will move mountains. And I'm ready for God to do something so great in this place that it cannot be contained in our gathering. It has to be just spilled out everywhere we go. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. How many of you want that kind of experience? And let me just say this. I am preaching. You remember when Jesus needed to feed the 5,000? How many basket loaves, how many take-home trays were there left of leftovers? 12. Why? Why would Jesus allow there to be leftovers when you can multiply bread? Was he stingy? Was he going to take it home and freeze it? No. The point he was making was, I want to give you something so much that there's too much for you. And I want you to take what you can't contain and all week long, give it to the people that weren't in my presence. There were 5,000 people in Jesus' presence, and the 5,000 got so much from God, and He said, now I want you to take what you got here and give it to the people that couldn't get here when you were here. So church service doesn't end when we say amen. Church service just keeps going on. What you're supposed to do is access everything He'll give you and then some, and then say to everybody at work, you weren't at church Sunday, but I got something to share with you. You weren't at church, but I'm going to help you today with what I got on Sunday. That's God's will. That's God's will. So it is not God's will or my desire for you to be comfortable here today. What can I get out of it? No, you should be saying, Lord, what can others get out of it? And if He's going to give it to others, He's got to take care of you in the process. Amen. Amen. Let's lift our hands and just show to God we're recipients of that today. Lord, I'm a recipient of that today. Lord, I'm that guy. I'm that person. We're that church that wants to get in your presence and say, Lord, this is too much for us. There are hurting, broken, sick, destroyed, depressed, anxious, on the path of destruction people that we come across all week. And God, would you do something in us today that is so significant that all week long church service just keeps spilling out? Lord, let us have leftovers when we leave church today. Amen. Lord, I'm asking in advance for a doggy bag. Some of you are way too religious for me. I want to preach through you. Lord, I pray for a take-home bag, a doggy bag. God, don't just fill my cup, but give me enough so that everybody else has some for the rest of the week. In Jesus' name, somebody shout amen. Amen. You can be seated. God bless you. Open your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Luke, chapter 24. Luke, chapter 24. Let me ask you to help me thank all the musicians and the worship leaders for their help today. So grateful for them. Paul and Heather are away. He's been preaching somewhere in Canada all week, and now they're they're still in Canada, and I think they're in Canada. So I think he likes Canada. Amen. So I'm so excited about what God wants to do here today. Luke chapter 24, if you'd open your Bibles there, and let me just warn you that what I'm going to do today, it may not be pretty. Nobody's ever accused that of me, but structured, eloquent, all I want today to be is memorable. In a good way. I can remember some messages I preached, but they weren't always good things that happened. So I want it to be memorable, and I need you to know how to come to this table and eat spiritually, okay? When you come to the table to eat spiritually today, this is not something about getting new revelation or feeling good. When you come to the table to eat today, my prayer is that the Holy Spirit changes you from the inside out. And this is my prayer right now. I'm gonna warn you, because some of you just are fragile. I'm asking God in my prayer time right now to erase everything I know about church and teach me all over again. That's what my prayer is. I told the worship team this morning, Lord, been doing this for a while. Would you please delete every file in the history of my church file in my mind so that I can make sure that we're not doing what we want? I don't get to, other guys think they can, I don't get to lead the church I think we should have. You can't tell me what kind of wife I should have. Oh, you can try. But history would say that wouldn't go too well for you. You can't tell me what kind of wife I should have. You know why? Oh my goodness. I don't know what she said, but I agree with it. One, you haven't invested a dime in her shoe collection. And she's my wife. And I think it's funny, people go around, I want to find the church I like. No, I want to be in the church that God likes, because it's not my church, it's God's church. It's not my bride, it's His bride. Come on, that's the church we ought to be in. So I'm not really all that interested, to be quite honest with you, in any of your ideas or opinions on what church is. What I really want to know is, Jesus, you tell us what kind of church you want, because if it's the church He wants, I'm pretty sure He'll attend it. We won't have to send a follow-up team to Jesus. You haven't been to church for 3 months. Why? It's not the church I go to. Well, let's change it. And I think there's some things that are going on that need to change, and here's why. God, I'm getting way ahead of my message. I told you, God loves Maine. I love Maine. So if you're one of those whiners, just shut up. Go somewhere else. Go somewhere here. Nobody, I don't see an ankle bracelet on you. Leave if you want. No, go. Honestly, I feel personally there are too many people up here already. Go home or wherever. I love Maine. And God loves me. And the reason that I preach this today is because in order for God to reach the people that He loves, and He loves people all over the planet. He loves people all over the planet. But the reason I know that God loves Maine, and the reason that the way that God wants to reach the people, people are not running, you know, fast and furious to come and do works of ministry in Maine. The reason I know, the way I know that God wants to reach the people of Maine is that He's building churches to pour His Spirit out on to reach the people of Maine. And one thing that I just want to press with you today is this. Everything that God does in this church, He has your neighbors in mind. Everything God does in our services, He has Bradford in mind. Everything He does in our gatherings, He has Corinth in mind, Atkinson in mind, Orneville in mind. And I need you to hear this. And I'm preaching before my scripture, but then my scripture will back what I'm preaching. God is already desiring to do mighty things in, let's just say, northern Maine. God is wanting to do exciting, awesome things in Northern Maine, things that Northern Maine has never seen before at unprecedented levels. How in the world are the people going to experience it? If you're visiting today, I make no promises that next week will be any better. But I'm going to be me, myself, and I today and leave the rest up to God. And to tell you this, He is an omnipresent God. That means He's everywhere. Listen to me, saints. He is everywhere. But He doesn't do the same thing everywhere. And there are places on the planet that it seems godless, and then there are places on the planet that seems like God's doing so many mighty things. Is it that God is racist? Is it that God is partial to warmer climates? Is it that God has certain terrains or certain styles of food He likes better than others? No. The only difference between God working in a place and a place seeming like it's godless is that there's somebody in that area that knows how to connect to Him. Y'all okay with this? Okay with this? This is a great time to get a nap. Honestly, some of you work so hard, this is the moment you've got to take a nap. But everybody else, listen. Today, God can move as richly in Charleston, Maine, as He does in Orlando, Florida, Los Angeles, California, Toronto, Canada, Jerusalem, Israel. Come on, let me just tell you something. He is no respecter of persons. He's just looking for a group of people that know how to connect with Him in their world. We have these funny ideas that God goes to Disney, that God goes to Wall Street, that God lives in the Bible Belt. How many know we're not living in the Bible Belt? I call us more like the Bible suspender. And I'm telling you today, see, I'm already so far off, I might as well just dive right in. The people that you least expect to be involved in what God is doing are the people that God wants to be involved in what He's doing. And Charleston Church is a prime, living, tangible example of God saying, I will overstep what everybody else thinks won't work and make it work so that I can get the glory. I don't know if you recognize it, but there are not a lot of 900-seat auditoriums in Charleston. Did you notice that? Yep. You got some big barns and a wicked nice prison. Perhaps God is doing something that is unprecedented in a little town that nobody else wants to do anything with except put prisoners and rodeos and a Bible college. Come on, somebody. Maybe He wants to do it to show the rest of the world that God's not checking everybody's W-2 and their religious affiliation and their race card. No, He wants to know, are there a people in an area that know how to connect? I'm telling you, for 95 years, this church has been possessed with a bunch of people who know how to access Him. What I'm worried about is that we got a bunch of blessed people in this church that have forsaken connecting. Maybe we need to get rid of the indoor plumbing. Maybe we need to tear down the air conditioners. Maybe you ought to get rid of these. It don't seem like they're working right now. But maybe we should get rid of these padded pews. Maybe we should make it a little bit more difficult. Maybe it should be a little bit harder, because I'm afraid that it's a temptation to become spoiled in our comfort. When we get to the point, listen to what I'm going to tell you. Oh, I don't want to get ahead of my... Help me, Lord. It's not about whether God wants to. Let's remove that mentality out of our lives. And let's understand very clearly, God wants to. He's waiting for us to connect. Luke 24. Okay. Is that okay? Now Jesus has risen from the grave. He's appearing to the disciples. And they're having a hard time. I talked to you a couple weeks ago that Wayne and Donnie were walking with Jesus, the disciples on Emmaus, the road to Emmaus, and Jesus was with them and they didn't know it. Jesus was with them and they didn't know it. And that's the whole premise of what I'm preaching here for the next, I don't know how long, is that God is in these areas. He's looking for people who can find Him. God was with you all week long. I said, God was with you all week long. What made the difference between it being a good week and a bad week was your ability to connect with Him. Did anybody connect with God this week? Won't He make a difference? So this is the whole premise of what I'm telling you, that the outpouring of the Holy Spirit is not for regions, it's for people that are prepared for the outpouring. Okay. Now, as they said these things, Jesus Himself stood in the midst of them, their gathering, and said, "Peace to you." But they were terrified and frightened and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And He said to them, "Why are you troubled? Why do doubts arise in your heart? Behold My hands and feet, that it is I Myself. Handle Me and see Me, for the Spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." Verse 40. When He said this, He showed them His hands and His feet. But while they still did not believe for joy and marveled, He said to them, "Have you any food here?" So they gave Him a piece of broiled fish and honeycomb. And He took it and He ate it in their presence. And then He said, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all the things must be fulfilled in which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning Me." And He opened their understanding that they might comprehend the Scriptures. And He said to them, "Thus it is written, thus it was necessary for Christ to suffer, rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." And that includes Maine. We're not a nation, but we're part of one. "And you are witnesses to these things. Behold, I send the promise of My Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." Okay, watch this. Don't get ahead of me back there. Watch this. Jesus is risen from the grave. He spent 3.5 years getting the disciples ready for the crucifixion. Now He's going to spend 40 days getting the people prepared for the promise. Now there's weeks of preaching in Luke 24, the scriptures I just read. I'm going to give you one point today. One point today. Can you stick with me? Jesus is spending 40 days, including in the scripture, telling the people, "I'm trying to get you ready for the promise of the Father." In other words, He's saying, "I'm working all around you." Now, I don't know about you, but I have to fight being critical of the disciples here. Because the disciples have seen Jesus crucified. They're in His presence. He says, "You can hear My voice. You can see My body. Look at My hands and feet. Give Me some food. Remember what I taught you." And He begins to teach them. And they're still like, "I don't know if I believe this." Please stay with me. Please stay with me. It's July. How many of you, if Jesus got up out of the seat next to you and walked up here and said, "Behold, here I am. I have a set of skills. If you don't come to church, I will use them." So, you know, okay. How many of you would believe Him? 8. My goodness. How many, if Jesus walked in here physically, would say, "Yeah, I expect that"? 12. Why are you not raising your hand? Would you not be encouraged if Jesus bodily showed up to church today? You think it's a trick question. I'm asking you a straight up question. Would you not be happy if you saw the nail pierces in His hands and His feet? Would you not be happy if He ate a fish sandwich in front of you? Would it not be happy? Would you not think it better He preach? How many of you would say, "My faith would change if that happened"? That's exactly what happened to the disciples, and they still struggled to believe in Him. And so you've been coming to church 20 years, and you're struggling to believe with Him, and you're feeling bad about it. The point I'm trying to make is that just because you've been around Jesus for years doesn't mean that you believe in Him. That just because some of you have been coming to church for 30 years, that doesn't mean that you know how to connect to Him. That you can be in church for 30 years or 3 years. And the disciples give us the example that being around Jesus does not mean you believe in Jesus. And so he's got to spend some time getting them ready. He's got to spend them time because he says, I'm going to give you the promise, and if you're not ready for it, you're going to miss your hour of visitation. What is the promise? If you look in Acts chapter 2, you'll see these scriptures that tell us what the promise is. On the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all in one accord with in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. Acts 2:14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raising his voice, said to them, Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you. Heed my words. Verse 15. These are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my Spirit on all flesh. Okay, so a little Bible lesson here. Jesus spends 40 days training them to be ready for the promise of the Spirit. What is the promise of the Father? What's the promise of the Father? The promise of the Father is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Now, there's something you need to see here, because Peter then goes on and he says, this is the prophecy that Joel gave. What was Joel's prophecy? Joel chapter 2, verse 29, 8. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Stop. Read that last line with me, if you would, starting with the word that. I will pour out my Spirit. Can you throw me a water? Dennis, throw me that water. You got a good arm. Throw it. No, throw it. Throw it. He says, I will pour out my Spirit. God says, give me another one. I'm going to need one more. I'm glad we got a bathroom right there. This service is over. I'm out. You want to see me? I'll be right by the handicap bathroom. Whew. In Joel 2, God says, I'll pour out my Spirit. God will pour out His Spirit. You get that? Who's pouring out the Spirit? Will pour out His Spirit. Go back a slide. But here, Peter says, God will pour out of His Spirit. Peter sees something that Joel doesn't predict. But we see the clues in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4 and verse 14 through 17. They, them, they, them, they, them, they, them. Now let me bring you back. I know this is a 30-second segment society. I'm trying to remind you how it is that God prepares people to access His power in any region of the planet. He says in Joel 2, I'm going to pour out my Spirit. That was God pouring out His Spirit in the church. But now He says, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit's not coming from God. It's coming from the church. This don't mean anything to you yet, but let me just try. In the beginning, in Acts chapter 2, God poured out His Spirit in the church. And Peter lets us know that from now on, the outpouring's not coming from heaven. The outpouring's coming through the church. If you have any heart for the lost, hurting, bound, addicted, sick, unwell, broken. You need to hear what I'm going to preach to you today, because the government is not going to fix it. And I don't care what president you worship or hate, they are not going to fix it. Education is not going to fix it. We've got more libraries than ever, but that's not fixing it. The health medicine is not going to fix it. The only thing left in the world to fix the hurt is the church. And we're crying, Lord, pour out your spirit, pour out your spirit. And God said, I already did. I poured it in the church. Now what I want is the church to pour out the spirit in the world so that the world can get what I've put in the church. Lord, pour it out from the heavens. God says, no. How many understand there have been some mighty moves of God on the planet? I mean shaking, mighty moves of God. Acts chapter 2, 3,000 people get saved. Acts chapter 3, a man that had been lame for all his life gets up and gets healed. Acts chapter 4, they're interrogated, but God becomes their judge and shakes the place of prayer. Acts chapter 6, we see there's trouble in the church, but the Holy Spirit comes and he puts order in the church. And we see chapter 7, 8, Stephen is martyred. He is killed, but he sees the presence of God. Acts chapter 10, Gentiles, people that were never supposed to hear the gospel, are reached. Why? That's what happens when there's an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The lame are healed. The guilty are freed. I mean, those who are falsely accused are freed. Disorder in the church is fixed. People who've never supposed to hear the gospel hear the gospel. I'm just telling you, we can see today what happened in the book of Acts. We've just got to come back to the point and stop saying, oh Lord, do something from heaven, and say, oh Lord, do something through the church so that the people can have an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. That's the order. That's the order. Where's the been mighty moves of God in Toronto, Brownsville, Korea? Mighty moves of God in China. The greatest, the largest numbers of church members in the world are in communist China right now. Great moves of God all over the planet. Where's the next move of God coming from? I'm looking at it. If you can't see through my beady eyes, I'm looking at the next move of God. You don't believe it, so I'm just going to keep on preaching until you do believe it. It's 11:30. And God said, I'll anoint you till 12. I got good news for you today. The answer is here, and the people are here. And if we can just let God pour His Spirit out through us, that's how we connect. People say the dumbest things. Let's put Christians in leadership in the politics. I think that's great too. But that's not where God's going to pour His Spirit out. Ooh. Come on. God's not Republican. You are. Oh, I know you are. Oh, well, praise God. I'll drink to that. I love it. I love it. How many are glad that the kingdom is not resting on the bad or good decisions of political leaders? The kingdom is resting on the church to say, here am I. Send me. Use me. You anoint me. Help me. Provide for me. It's time for you to get off your seat, get on your feet, and say, Lord, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen through the church. Through the church. Through you. Come on, I'm trying to challenge you today. God doesn't need anybody else. He's got everything He needs in these blue seats and orange seats. It's right here. We are the body on the earth. I got a waterproof iPad. It's a good thing. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm going to get done with this. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. And if the foot should say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I am not in the body. How many of you brought all of your hands to church today? Let me see your hands. Did you bring them to church today? It'd be awful if you're... How many are glad your hand came with you to church? Wouldn't it be awful if you got up to go to work this week and your foot said, I'm tired, I'm not going. Isn't that funny? It is funny, isn't it? But how many feet did not come to church today because they're tired? How many hands are leaving the body of God incomplete? You never really can claim, this is going to be a bit, I'm going to say two things that are rather rough. Number one, it's awful hard for you to claim you're a part of the body of Christ if you can't prove where you fit. What are you? Oh, I'm a Christian. Yeah, but what part of the body are you? He understands. No, he doesn't. If you're a real Christian, you know your part in the body. Okay. And the second, okay, I'm going to save the second hard thing for later. And if the ear should say, because I'm not of the eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, isn't that funny? Like Monsters, Inc.? Wouldn't there be hearing? If the whole were hearing, would there be smelling? But now God, I saw the guy the other day, I thought he was the nose of God. But anyways, but now God has set the members, each one in the body, just as he pleased. And if they're all one member, where would the body be? But now, indeed, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. Nor again the head to the feet, I don't need you. Verse 27. Now you collectively, this is amplified, are Christ's body. And individually, you are members of it. Each with his own special purpose and function. When I look at the church, if Jesus was to come back again, he would say, this is what my body looks like. The body of Christ is not a 501c3 nonprofit. The body of Christ collectively is the representation of God on the planet. And I don't think that you value yourself enough or realize how important you are. And here's the thing. You can prove whether you're really saved. Telling you, I told you, it's dangerous. I've asked God to delete everything out of my brain concerning the church. If when you're cut, you bleed only for yourself, I don't mean physically, but let's just take a picture. Let's say that you take a scalpel and you cut and you bleed, oh my, oh me, oh my family. The Bible states very clearly that when you cut God, he bleeds others. That's a bit convicting, and it hits me too. Try that again. I'm almost done. I just say that. It doesn't mean anything. You know it. I'm just saying what you're thinking. Are your thoughts continually about you and your situation? Then you're not really a part of his body. What have I got to lose? I'll start another church in Orneville. I'm afraid if you cut the average Christian, all they're going to be concerned about is themselves. And you say to the average Christian, you know, about church, they want everything to be about them. That's all they want. Why don't you go to that church anymore? Well, it's not what I like. It's not about you. It's about them. And if you're a part of the body of Christ, when you get cut, you bleed others. You wake up thinking about others. You go to bed thinking about others. You dream about others. You love others. You weep for others. But when you're not a part of the body of Christ, you're just a religious part. You're a dismembered part, and you're just going to bleed for yourself. But the Bible says you are not a part of the body When you're in the church, you're part of the body when you're alone. But you're not the church when you're alone. You're part of the church when you're together. And so in a baseball team, they've got the fielders in the field. And then they have a batter at the plate. And if the fielders think, well, we only need one person in the field, how many know that person is going to have to be pretty fast? Right? Like Steve Bean is the only person that could play outfield alone in a church softball tournament. I'm just teasing him. But when you get to the plate, you don't need the team. You stand by yourself. And some people are only Christians when they're in church. But they're never Christians alone. And then some people are only Christians alone, and they never go to church. You're not part of a winning team. What God is saying is, if you want to be a part of the winning team, you've got to be willing to bat alone when it comes to your walk with God. But if you want to be on a winning team, you've got to be a part of the team and know if you play first base, second base, right field, left field. Come on, somebody. I want to know, what part of the body do you belong to? What part of the field are you playing? And then if you're doing that, what part of your own personal walk do you have with God? And if we can get to the point, if we could get to the point that we understand that church is not just me alone, and that church is just not me in church Sunday. Church is me walking with God every day, being the temple of the Holy Spirit, but knowing also that I'm part of a team. I'm part of a group. I'm part of something that collectively brings the presence of God. And I need, and I have to say a couple of rough things, because I'm always just sensitive to religious spirits. I'm doing my best to kick them out. But I need to be very careful, though, in all that, to tell you, you are where the next move of God is coming from. How many of you got some people you know need to get saved? Some people you know need to get healed? Some people you know that need to be reached? I've got good news. It is God's, come on, musicians, God's intention to reach every single one of them. But it's going to happen in Northern Maine like never before. When the church steps up and says, wait a minute, the move of God is flowing through me. How many of you want to be an active part of this great outpouring of the Holy Spirit? Come on, how many of you really want it? I dare you to do something that some of you don't do. I dare you to lift a hand just to, like, God, pick me. Come on, Lord, pick me. And then just begin to thank God that He's chosen you to be a part of this mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that you'll pour your Spirit out on this mighty band of believers today. There is a team. There is a body. There is a move of God that you want to usher through us like we have never, ever seen before. But God, we can't do it on our own. We need to be baptized in the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord. We're not trying to be like anybody else. We're trying to be what you're building us to be. So, Lord, there are people here. You're about to take people that have been lingering in the shadows, and you're about to bring them to the stage. Lord, you're about, I sense it in my spirit. You're looking for people that have been quietly faithful, and you're about to pull them forward to make them an example. And there are people that should be involved that are at the front that you're going to set to the side until they're ready to be prepared to connect to your Spirit. But Lord, on July, is it the 29th? Whatever. This last Sunday of July, Lord, let this be a day that this pastor and his wife and this staff and this board and the volunteers and the members of the church draw a line and say, Lord, would you do a miracle once again and animate this church to be able to help people connect to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit like never before, in Jesus' name. Amen. This is the best way I know how to describe it to you. I'm preaching a lot longer than I have for a long time, and I don't apologize. We're talking about souls here, life and death. The body of Christ is a gathering of different people from different backgrounds. And what makes the body of Christ beautiful is that we're not a bunch of hands or a bunch of feet, but we're a completeness of a variety of abilities and gifts. And I was preaching in Rhode Island last week. The pastor there, I think you were told the pastor there, it was his father-in-law that died in that duck boat tragedy. I think we're one of maybe 5 or 6 white people in a black church. I rather liked it. I know that's a surprise. But I'm telling you, I felt the same spirit in that black church as I do in this very white church. Painfully white, to be quite honest with you. Isn't it painful at times? When I preach, I think I'm just, because I preached, I even got to singing. Can you imagine? Now, I got preaching like I do here. I got walking the aisles and walking the seats and making people mad. And I took to singing. Like, isn't that what a white kid from Levant, Maine should do in a black church in Providence, Rhode Island, is sing? It was like, I don't know. Something took me, like Stevie Wonder took me over. For a moment, I was a soul man. But God is using people of every color. From across denominations. Nate Pimentel is in India right now, seeing masses of people get saved. Tiff Shuttlesworth is connected to the body of Christ in a nation I can't tell you. He's on his way home today. Why? Because the body of Christ is all over the world. And I'm going to tell you today, you are the body of Christ. It's time to rise up and say, Lord, use me in my world. There is more in you. And I hate the devil, but he's talked you out of your calling and your mission and your anointing and your passion because of your past. He's talked you out of it because of your weakness. He's talked you out of it because of a disappointment in church or outside of church. But I'm looking for a group of people that say, I don't care what has happened. I'm going to rise up. I'll be what God wants me to be. I'll give my life to this cause so that I can help other people reach the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Every person that says, I am completely committed to doing my part in the body, stand with me if you would please. Stand with me if you would please. I commit to do my part in the body. I commit to do my part. I'm going to finish this tonight. I'm not done. I may have to preach this for weeks. What you need is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in you. How many of you are ready for God to fill you to overflowing? I mean, just so much. Come on, how many, just raise a hand here. How many are ready for God to fill you to overflowing? Karabasika. Begin to pray then in the Holy Ghost all over this place. Lift your hands and begin to praise God and say, I thank you, Jesus, that the promise belongs to the church and the church belongs to the world. Hallelujah. Come on, Lord, fill me with your spirit. Lord, fill me with power. Would you cry out, church? Come on, church. Would you cry out? Would everybody in this place, would you cry out? Oh, God, use me. Oh, God, make me an instrument. There are souls that need to be reached. There are families that need to be fixed. There are lives that are being damaged. Oh, God, use me. Come on, like never before. Lord, give us Pentecostal power. Lord, give us dynamic power. We can speak to the mountain. We can say to the sick. We can say to the frail, use me. Use me, Lord, like never before. Make me of another person. Use me dynamically. Rid me of my weakness and fill me with supernatural Holy Ghost strength today in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, let Maine be saved for the gospel of Christ. Lord, let Maine be an example to 50 states that what if people connect, the Holy Ghost can do anything, anywhere, with anyone who connect with the power of God. Come on, press in, church. Just begin to call out on the Lord. Here I am. Use me. Use my life. Use me in this place. Use me in my work. Use me in my job. Use me in my home. Use me in my neighborhood. Use me to reach the prodigal. Use me to reach the sinner. Use me to reach people who are in all varieties of sin and bring the light of hope. to a people today in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, spend some time in the presence of God. Let God ignite your fire right now. Let God ignite the fire.
Promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
There's something about making a commitment. I just need to warn somebody. This is not Matt Ward's design. I'm telling you. I'm just telling you. There's a whole lot more going on than we know of. And if we can just tap into it, there'll be a whole lot less struggle and a whole lot less burden and a whole lot less weariness. And there'll be joy and there'll be strength and there'll be a peace. When you stop trying to do it, produce it. And you start getting in the flow of what God's already doing. I want every person that says, I want to be a connected part. I want to be responsible. I'll stand at the plate alone and I'll take my position in the field because I don't want God to have a move in church. I want the church to have a move in the community. A line is being drawn today, folks. We're drawing a line in the sand today. And say, Lord, this is not our church. This is your church. And how many believe that God can raise Charleston Church? And thank God for what we're doing now. But how many believe there's a whole lot more hurt that needs a whole lot more healing in our community? How many know there's a whole lot more people than are here today? This is a marvelous crowd on a 90-degree day in the middle of July. How many think that God can use us today? There'll be no superstars. Now, some people are not going to get with it because they can't be the main attraction. But when Peter stood up and preached, he said there were 11 dudes with him saying, this ain't me. So if you think this is the Matt Ward show, you know better than that. I don't have that ability. I don't have that desire. I'm not that good looking. Now, honestly, you don't want to admit it. I'm good looking enough for her. But not for a movement. How many say, I want to be a part of the body of Christ that reaches the hurting and the sick and the dying and the lost? And we want to make a difference. Every person, for real. And some of you physically can't come. I understand that. I mean, I got a guy here that can't walk, so I'm sure I get you. Now, I'm not, no more excuse. We're going to chase the excuse makers out. Okay? Because I'm afraid you're going to take the new people and give them excuses. Okay? I want every person that says, man, I want to be a part of the living body of Christ to join me at this altar right now. Don't fake it. I ain't interested in fakes. There are other churches that are fit for you. But for the real saints, And I'm not saying that people don't come that you're fake. I'm just saying make it a real decision to get as close to this altar. And I believe the Holy Ghost is going to consecrate you and set every person aside. I'm not asking you to join this church. I'm not asking you to join some kind of an organization. I'm asking you to make a commitment. I'm going to do my part, and I'm going to facilitate the outpouring of the Holy Spirit to my workplace, to my home, to my town, and to my state. Come quickly, step up close. There'll be a crowd. People will line up the aisles, and that's fine. I'm telling you, this is not the end, but this is the beginning of something fresh in the history of Charleston Church. I'm just telling you right now, you will be glad that you said, I was there the day that there was a tide shift. Come right in close if you can. That's awesome. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Come on. Everybody that needs to be here is here. I'm telling you, everybody that needs to be here is here. I'm telling you, everybody that needs to be here is here. Hallelujah. God's not looking anywhere else. He's looking in this building today. Praise God. Something dynamic taking place. Let me just wait on the Lord. You are going to lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. You are going to be used in the words of wisdom and knowledge and the gifts of healing. You are going to experience this. You're going to stop looking at the platform to do it, and you're going to be executing it all week long. You're going to do it. All right, are you ready? Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. I took a ride last night. It's just so weird. And I don't want to sound depressing or weird, okay? But I ordered a couple calzones for Micah and I last night, and I had to wait. So I just drove through Corinthian Cemetery. I never do that. Okay, and they're thinking, wow, this is a great way to end a service. Okay, but let me finish. Let me finish. Of course, I know a lot of people there, been in this area for a long time. And I thought, God, they had to cry out for a move of God in their generation. And so must we. But if they could receive a move of God in their generation, so will we, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. He's the God of all generations. If he's the God of one, he's not God at all. But he's the God of my generation. Come on, somebody. Somebody shout, my generation. All, come on, all you hippies. All you hippie fans. This is my generation. This is my generation. Only me and Randy know what the song is. But how many excited? I'm going to see it happen in my lifetime. Anybody else excited about that? I'm going to see it happen in my lifetime. You're going to see it happen in your lifetime. And I've preached way too long, but you got to give the guy a little break. I'm kind of excited. Rob, we're going to see it in our generation. We're going to see it, man. We are going to see a move of God that we will tell for the rest of our lives. I was there when it happened, and I was a part of it. Some of you have no story to connect to because you were never part of a move of God. I've come to announce good news. You're going to be a participant in the move of God. You're going to learn how to connect the kingdom of heaven with the people on this earth. And he's going to find people. Some of you have discounted yourself and you said, it can't happen to me. You're going to be the ones he wants because you'll give him the glory. You'll give him the praise. Would we lift our hands to heaven and just, it's a position of receiving. Lord, I pray there'll be an outpouring of your Spirit on every individual in this altar today, in these aisles, in these seats. They physically couldn't come, but touch their lives today. Now you begin to cry out to God and say, Lord, here I am. Hallelujah. I'm willing to do anything. I'm willing to do anything for you. I'm willing to do anything for you. Hallelujah. It's going to take faith. It's going to take courage. But just say to the Lord, I'm willing to do anything for you. I'm not going to be distracted. I'm not going to be discouraged. I'm not going to try to duplicate somebody else. I'm going to be me, but I'm going to do you in the world. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. Come on, God's moving. Is anybody aware of it today? Come on. I said, God is moving. Lord, I want to be a part of it. Lord, you're moving. I want to be a part of it. You're still healing. I want to be a part of it. You're still delivering. I want to be a part of it. You're still reaching. I want to be a part of it. Come on, somebody. Lord, you let the wave come in. Give me the surfboard. I'll ride that wave until I've done what I've been called to do. Come on.